I never knew you can sing. Because that first song was, I was just looking at him. What is that? But that was great. Praise the Lord. I was dancing. You know, in the presence of God, there is the fullness of joy. Whenever you come into the presence of God, that's the very, very place you can experience real and true joy. And that is why sometimes alone in my house, I dance. Just I sing and dance. Because there is nothing you can give for all that God has given to us. We have received so much from Him that there is not, you can't pay Him. But all you need to do is just give Him the glory and honor Him. Tonight, I'm going to talk about something I believe that every one of us can relate to. God's call in a time like this. If you look at the world today, it's moving so fast with a lot of things going on that sometimes our brain has been taken away. Our thinking has been taken away. The world is moving so fast that sometimes we forget why we exist. We forget that there's a reason why you and I are still alive. There's a reason why you and I are still blessed the way God blesses us. Things in the world is becoming so alluring that sometimes we try to settle down. But we forget that we are in a journey, traveling as pilgrims from here to there. Once we forget that, life becomes meaningless. And that is why I want to call our mind back to the call of God in our lives. Every one of us have something very specific you were created for. Everyone. What I was created for is not what you are created for. It's not what he's created for. You are unique to yourself, and sometimes we don't actually appreciate who we are. If you look at in the world today, there are 7.5 billion people on earth by United Nations estimation. But among 7.5 billion people on earth, there's no one like you. None. Your fingerprint cannot cross with any other person in the world, either past, present, or future. You are you. And after you, there's no you. The question is why? Because God has an assignment for you to fulfill on earth before you leave here. But many times we don't see it. So Jesus Christ was teaching in John chapter 15 about the vine and the branches. And he made a connection that the branch cannot survive except is connected, you know, the branch cannot survive except is connected to the branches, you know, the vine. We all have plants in our houses or around us. There's no branch that will survive without the stem of that very plant. When there's a disconnection, you find the leaves change and it dries and dies. So there's a need to constantly plug into that vine so that you'll be able to reach out to the things God expects you to reach. So Jesus made this statement in John chapter 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Ordination means set you apart. I have chosen you and ordained you that you shall go forth and bring fruit, and that your fruit will remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, I will give it to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. If you look at the day of conception, the day you were born or conceived in the womb, the only person who was there was God. There were thousands and thousands of thousands of potential human beings that actually would have come into this world. But they didn't have the chance to come. But you. Out of that thousands, God picked you out because there is a seed in you of what you want to achieve. That's why I say, I chose you. Even when you came into this world, none of us were looking for God. None. But he kept looking for us and chasing us around. Even when we are offending him, when we are sinning against him, he was still chasing us until he caught us. His love drew us when we were not actually loving him. Why? Because he chose you. Why not somebody else? My father has 14 children. 7 boys, 7 girls. And my father prayed a prayer in 1922. I wasn't born then. Maybe my mother wasn't born. And he prayed that God would make one of his sons a pastor and never told anybody. In 1952, I showed up. 30 years later. And then, fast forward, 1972, I gave my life to Christ. 50 years after that prayers. And yet, my father didn't say anything to anybody until a night in 1974, December, that I went to him to tell him that I'm going to leave my business into ministry. And he looked at me and said, are you going to be the fulfillment of my prayers? I don't have idea what you pray about. And he shared the story. In other words, look at how many years it took for God to find someone to answer somebody's prayers. My father wasn't a Christian when he prayed that prayers. But he loved the pastors he saw baptizing people and he prayed that prayers. And thank God that when he was 100 years old, he gave his life to Christ and lived another 15 years before he died. To date, I'm the only pastor in my father's children. Which means God answered a special prayer. Every one of us have something that God wants to use us as a platform to fulfill. You may be an engineer. Praise God for your life. That is a platform. That is not the purpose of your life. The purpose of your life is to serve the King of Kings on the platform of being an engineer. You are a doctor, praise the Lord. Whatever your career is, that is not the purpose for which God created you. But God gave you a platform to pursue what he created you for. But the problem is, have you discovered what he created you for? Our salvation is not an accident. Because the Bible says it was designed from the foundation of the world. That you believe in Christ and know him and be who you are today. Our calling is not without a purpose. In other words, that you were born into this world means that you have a message from God to actually give out to the world. That is why I said that the richest place in the world today is not in the bank. It's in the cemetery. You know why? Because there are many talents that were not developed. They were buried. There were many things that would have been invented. They were not invented. Because the people who carried it did not do it. They buried it. In the morning you had me that prayer, I pray, God, don't let me go home still loaded. Let me go home empty. In other words, when I'm going back to God, everything he asked me to do, I have done it, and I'm only going back with the fruit of what I have done because he chose me for that purpose. That is why whatever I achieve doesn't get into my head. Why? I'm only fulfilling his purpose. Ask yourself, what is your calling? What is your purpose? What do you think gives you joy as a Christian to be able to say, I know my Redeemer liveth? We're talking about Charlie Cook, right? We're talking about how many people came to Christ today. It's only just a beginning. And I said in Arizona, I think about 2 days after he was killed, and I said to them that I won't be surprised that the day I will hear the wife say something, that I will hear a word, I have forgiven him. And sure enough, today, she did. Why? Because the value they live for is a high volume of values that she need to do that. But that again amplified the voice. Our lives are not supposed to be barren, supposed to be fruitful in the body of Christ. Productive. Our services to the kingdom is supposed to be impactful. In other words, if you are no more in existence, what would they remember you for? I remember standing in the front of a church, my friend Mark, and I asked him about 14 or 15 years ago, and I asked him, if this church is no more here, would they ever remember there was a church here? The same thing I ask you, Harvest Christian Assembly. If this church is no more here, will anybody remember that there was a church here? Because what you will remembered for is the impact you make in the village, in the town, in the community. The life you live that people see. Jesus, I chose you for that reason, that you bear fruit and that your fruit will remain. Not just one time. It stays. In my village, where enter my village, call my father's name, he opened doors. That name opened doors. It's not easy to go into the house of a king. Not easy. If you understand what king is, you know, when we sing it, we have not seen king. We don't know king. But take, for example, Queen Elizabeth when he was alive. You can't shake her hand unless she bring out her hand for you to shake. And that is very rare. The king of my place, you can go into his palace and get lost. Because you never know where he's going to be, come from. There was a day I went in there to see him and give him some gift. Because you don't go to the king empty-handed. You must go with a gift. So I walk in there and they told me it's not there. I say, tell him the son of this man, I call my father's name. So they went to tell him. He asked me to come in, pass through buildings until I got to where he was in a garden, sitting down. He said to me, this is where I come to think. I learned a big lesson. Our service to the kingdom is supposed to be impactful, that we leave a sand, we leave a print in the sand of history, because we're choosing for that. So let me break it down. What are we called to do and what are we called for? Number one, we're called to freedom. Freedom from the power of sin, freedom from oppression of the devil, freedom to have authority to share your own view and to reach out to people as God have mandated you. Freedom. I have chosen you. You have not chosen me, but I choose you that you might become free. Free from the power of the enemy. Free from fear. Free from frustration. Free from discouragement. You know that discouragement and frustration don't just come from outside, they come from inside. But if I'm attached to the Lord and I attach to him on daily basis, frustration has no access to my heart. Fear has no access to my heart. If there was anything that I've carried Charlie to where he went, and to the short life he lived is that value, because it's connected to Christ every day. Our call is with a mandate that every one of us, not the pastor, not the deacons, not the elders of the church, every one of us should carry the gospel. That's a mandate. The freedom to share Christ, who have been so good to you. Freedom to express yourself in Christ and let him know that you love him. Freedom that will not restrict you of anything and give you the voice that you may not have. We are called to freedom. We are called to the mission of rescuing lives, bringing people to the saving knowledge of Christ, letting others see the goodness of God in our lives. Let me tell you, somebody can argue about Jerusalem. Somebody can argue about all the archaeological, proofs in Israel. Somebody can argue about Jesus not coming, but you can't argue about what Jesus did in my life. A Jehovah Witness, I don't call them Jehovah Witness, what tower people, they came to my house and he was telling me of a kingdom. And I asked him, this kingdom you are talking about, how are you sure you are going? He said, he's not sure yet. I said, okay, sit down, let me tell you about mine. And I began to share with him about the kingdom with testimonies of what God have done in my life. At the end of it, he said, nobody can doubt what God have done in your life, that I'll come back again. He never come back. But he had the gospel anyway. Freedom to give others the love that you have received, because he chose you for that. It's a privilege to partner with God. I mean, you don't actually understand what it is. When I saw Charlie shaking hands with your president, it's like, wow. There are people who are in the government, but they have not had chance to shake hands with him. But they can walk up to him and talk with him. Why? Because he was connected to God. And that value gave him access. The same way we have. You have access to God. You have access in prayers. You have access in Bible study. You have access. All these things were made available that you'll be able to take it and go out and tell somebody about the kingdom of God. That you might bring forth fruit, and that your fruit will stay. You know, somebody said, this was somewhere very close to Parker, Arizona. It's called Big River, a very small town. I met a very rich man in that place, very old, retired farmer. And he said to me, Brother Thomas, I like to travel like you travel. I said, Roy, you can't do it. You are old enough, you're almost 80 years old. You can't travel the way I travel. I said, but you know what? You can do more than what I do in your compound here. He said to me, how? I said, you see this garage that you just left here like this? You can transform it to a place. Those who come to River Colorado every weekend from California, they come here and rent a place, preach to them. I said, that's a good idea. He renovated that whole building he made just for garage and make it as an apartment. And people began to rent it. So he began to build houses. He built up to about 5 houses before I stopped going there. 5 different apartments, buildings that have 3 apartments each. Build and people come and rent. In the morning, he go from house to house and put tracts and give them tracts and share Christ with them. I told him, you see, I told you, you can do something in your house. You can't be too old to share Christ. There are seniors here who need Jesus Christ. There are people hospices who need Jesus Christ. There are people in the hospital who need Jesus Christ. You can do that because we are called to freedom. Right. In our schools, you can go. We are called to freedom. Our salvation is not just for us. It's for us to become an extension of God's glory to others in our neighborhood. It is important for us to understand that this is some of the things that drive us. Some of the pastors you see traveling from places to place, Let me tell you, before I came here, back to back, if you read my magazine, this one, you'll find out back to back, the dates are there. Back to back, the programs are there. I just finished a huge conference. Ron Luce, you know him? Ron Luce was with me. After that conference, I hit the road. I'm here. I'll get back to my country on the 31st of October. On the 2nd of October, there's an event. That weekend, I'll be preaching in another church. Why am I doing this? Crazy? No, I'm not. I'm coming close to where I'm going to. Every opportunity must be used. We are called to freedom. That freedom carries salvation. Look at what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blame and without blame before him in love. Chose us that we might be who we are today, to bring glory and honor to God, to reflect his glory and values. Peter called us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own people, that we might show forth the glory of God who have called us. I have chosen you. We were called by God because he wants to use us as a platform to touch others. Second, we're called with a purpose. Like I mentioned at the beginning, once you forget the purpose of which you exist, everything looks okay. Once you forget that, take for example, if I'm traveling, when I was checking into the Southwest, coming from Auckland, I was wondering, I'm supposed to pay something, but they didn't ask me for money. And I got in, I have A3. It never happened to me. That's first class. And I kept wondering, what happened? When I came, Tammy had actually done all the work at the back so that I can come here. Right? That is what Jesus did. We couldn't approach God. We couldn't get to God. We couldn't get what we need. And Jesus came and paid the price, everything. Finished it, hand the ticket to us. And that's our salvation. That today, you and I can go to God and say, Father, Abba, Father, and he'll hear you. Because Jesus paid the price. He came with a purpose. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. With a purpose. My Father who sent me have given me a message that I'm going to actually deliver to you. I do my Father's will. Why? He came with a purpose. Your salvation is with a purpose. Your neighbor, your neighborhood, you are a missionary to them. Your co-workers, you are a missionary to them. Because that is what God called you to do. I ordain you, I call you and ordain you, I separated you for this. In this church, there are so many talents. So many gifts in this church. But some of them are like a dormant volcano. You know, volcano can be sitting here and it's dormant. It's not active. Then you don't know how powerful it is until it erupts. The gift you have is like a volcano. Until you put it into practice, it cannot be active. In other words, there are people who your life can touch that Pastor Shane's life cannot touch. It's meant for you. There are places you can feel that nobody else can feel. It's meant for you. But question, have you discovered what that is? Somebody came to me and said, I don't know what God has called me to do. It looked like God didn't give me a gift. I said, no, he did it. He did. So he said, I don't know how to do it. I said, let me just give you a clue. Whenever you are in church, what do you do to make you happy? Every time you are in church, you just find yourself, when you are there, you are in a comfort zone. I said, I know what that is. I said, that's a clue to what a gift is. What is it that you do? Every time you do it, you are in joy. You rejoice over it. When you finish it, you are so fulfilled. It might be sweeping the house. It might be cleaning the toilets. But that is something that makes you happy. That is a clue to what God has put in your life. Say this. What do we call it? Can I would like to see you. I want to hear you. What is it? No, this one. This guys. What do you call it? Fingers. They all answer fingers, but are they the same? Or if I cut off this and put this one and cut this, put this, does it look nice? They are all fingers, right? But I can switch them. But will it work? No. But this guy is standing alone, but let me just put it out. And I try to take spoon. I will know that this is important. When I want to give somebody a warning, I do this. I don't do this. I don't do this. But if something scratch my ears, I can't put this one, but this one will go. There is no way you can tell me there's no place you can fill in the house of God. There must be a place for you. There must be something for you, but you have not discovered it. Because our calling is with a commission. The commission is to bring fruit back. If our life is not bringing fruit, we are not fulfilling the call. Look at what Jeremiah said. When God called him, he said, "Before I form you in the womb, I know you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." In other words, God knew him before he knew himself. In order to ask yourself, what is it that I'm living for? What is it that God have given to me? What is it that God have called me to do in the house of God, in the kingdom of God? You don't need to tell me what I personally have to do. I know. And I tell them that's why I'm pursuing what I'm pursuing. Everything I've done, I do it differently from others. Some professors have come to me and say, "You see the buildings in Project Hope? There are a lot of buildings there." They come there and said to me, "You know how much money you can make from this place if you make it a polytechnic?" I said, "God didn't send me that." "You know how much you make about..." "No, money is not everything. But why is it that you just pour money into people's life that you don't know?" I said, "Because they were called, they were given to me by God." The very young girl you saw, who is crying. He came to Project Hope, and in my interaction, I found out that the family was like this. I entered into the family, not just her. She was just a platform to enter into the family. I'm not only dealing with her, I'm dealing with her sister, I'm dealing with her mother. To make sure that life becomes standard. That whenever they look up, they'll say, "This is what God have done for me." They have no excuse for not knowing God. If you come to my country, I know the class I belong to. But class has nothing to do with me when it comes to ministry. I sit down with those girls, those boys, sit down with them, talk with them, laugh with them. If we are together, I wonder, who is the pastor? Who is the owner of this place? Why? Because if I don't come down, I can't lift them up. I have to come down to their level, sit down with them, laugh with them, pray with them, cry with them sometimes, and then some of them will come and say, "I have a problem," and they are dying of the problem. How much is it? Maybe $2. And that's their problem. So one of them told me, I laughed. He said, "Sir, why are you laughing?" "It's something I've been thinking for 1 week. I don't know where it's going to come from." I said, "Listen, that's not a problem." I put the money I give to her. I said, "You know, if I say I have a problem, run. Because my problem is huge." To her, the $2 was just her lifetime. She can't find it. Nobody will send it to her. Some of them I take to the hospital when they are sick, and their parents wouldn't come. I'll pay the bills. And somebody think I'm crazy. I'm not. But when those lives are true and begin to reach out to the communities, then you know I'm not crazy. Because it takes one man to transform the life of people. And Jesus gave us that life, that mandate. It's not found in factories. It's not found in shop. It's not found in politics. It's not found anywhere but in Christ Jesus. That's only where the power of transformation is found. The governor of my state came to Project Hope. We were friends before I became a governor. And after that, I pulled myself. And he said to me, how did this happen? Because he was shocked at what he saw. And I said to him, that's how God works. He works in a mysterious way. The problem we have is that we have forgotten that we are God's special people. We are his hands, we are his legs, we are his mouth, we are his eyes. We look at people and we see them and turn away. But listen, they are our job. They are something God has called us to do. If you and I are called special people, what are we using it for? Let me read something I wrote here. Every believer has an assignment to fulfill before we are taken to heaven. Every believer, old and young, small and big, we have an assignment to fulfill before we take off to heaven. You were sharing a dream you had, mansion, house, great house, right? And I thank God that it was offered to you. But you know what? I don't want to go to heaven and admire people's mansion, admire people's crown. I want to go to heaven with my own crown. I want to go to heaven and enjoy the glory of God, enjoy the presence of God. If there is any award in heaven, I want to get the best. And to get the best is to walk the best here. It is important for us to see that sometimes God shows us a glimpse of what is coming. A glimpse of his glory, a glimpse of his power. But ask yourself the question, am I walking towards this? We cannot enjoy the depth of the flow of the Holy Spirit until we discover and walk in the purpose for which we're called. There's no way you can get the depth and the joy of the Spirit. When I celebrated 20 years, that is 30 years ago, when I celebrated 20 years in ministry, the journalists asked me a question. Because they came, the TV people came and all that, they asked me a question. What is it that gave you joy the most in ministry for 20 years? And I said, the tears of those who come to the altar and cry. He said, why? Why is that? I said, because it reminds me of where I'm coming from. It reminds me of who I was. It reminds me of the joy that God has saved me and given me a new life. I would have been dead a long time because of the way I was going. Smoking pot, 4 single wraps in one. It's like a cigar, big. You know, the single wrap, I don't know how it does here. It's just like a cigarette. But we put 4 in one wrap. Huge. Blow it up. And when you are going on the road, it's like you own the world. That's not true. It just gives you false hope. But when I gave my life to Christ, I saw the real life. I saw that I don't have to do pot. I don't have to do drugs. I don't know how to. My life changed completely. How will I not give God thanks for that? Some of my friends who continue in that even after I share with them have died. Some of them with terrible diseases died. But God is still keeping me. Why? Why will I not serve him with all that he has given to me? No wonder David said, let all that is within me praise the Lord. That's why in Africa we dance. Because before the Lord, when we were all serving idols, we danced before the idols. Now we are serving God. I have to dance before God. Three, we were called to service. The service of the kingdom. It's not what pastor tell you to do. It's not just pastor say, you have to do this. That's the only thing. No, you have to tell the pastor, can you permit me to do this? It's two different things. Pastor will call you and beg you, please, can you do this? Fine, that's a big blessing. But the greater blessing is you coming to the pastor and say, will you permit me to do this? When the pastor asks you to do it, God will bless you for obeying, right? But when you come to the pastor because you discovered that it's needed and you said, I want to give it as a service to the kingdom, the blessing increase. So the question is, what are you doing to serve God in your life as a Christian? I've called you, I've chosen you, ordained you, that you might bring forth fruit and that your fruit will remain. True discipleship produces lasting results. True discipleship. And that lasting result comes from the character that God impacted into you. And when those characters are there, you can forgive easily. You can see others like God sees them. You have no boundaries. Your life becomes a bridge for others to cross into greatness. Because that's what God has called you to do. You know, some people, they want to talk to me, but they are afraid to come to me. You know how they come? They want to talk to my wife. Once they talk to my wife, then you know they are going to talk to me. Because my wife will come into the house. You know, this person have come and he wants to talk to you. Herbert, well, I'm busy. No, you have to talk to them. I will go. The question is, here you book appointment, right? There they just show up. It can be night, it can be day, anytime they just show up. Sometimes your family members won't tell you they are coming. All of a sudden you hear a knock on the door. He's coming with his suitcase, he's coming to stay. You can't drive them away. If you do it, they say, I thought you say you're a Christian. You hear that? I thought you say you're a Christian. Others can do it and go free, but you can't. Because you're a child of God. God has made you a light to your people. We are to be his hand. We are to be his legs. We are to be his eyes. We are to be his ears. I am here, but I'm preaching at home. I have a radio program that comes every time. It's already pre-recorded. Give it to them. Somebody is being saved there. I have tracts that they give out. Give it to them. Why? If I can duplicate myself into 200, that's fine. But the gospel must go on unhindered, because that's what we are called to do. The Bible says, let your light so shine that others may see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not God that makes it shine. You make it shine. An intentional thing that you do. The service to the kingdom is not a service that is forced. It's intentional service. A service that you know has a purpose. Something you know will bring result. Something you know. See, do you know what it is to go out and look at somebody who is homeless, somebody who is in drugs, somebody, and you clean them up, and all of a sudden you see them start glorifying God in the church? Do you know the joy it gives you? That's our mission. I was in New York one time. I was asked to come and preach in a church. And I got to the church. I pity the pastor. He is the one at the organ. He is the one at the guitar. He is the one making announcement. Nobody else. Just a bunch of old people in the church. And he began to tell me, you know, these people don't come to church. I said, no. I saw your members on my way coming here. He said, what do you mean by that? I said, they are members. In his church, outside, there's a lot of homeless. That's where they sleep. And I said to him, I saw your members when I was coming in. To him, it's like he was lost. He said, these are my members. I said, no, your members are outside. You see, those homeless there, there are some of them that can play guitar very well. There are some of them that have talents, but situations have put them out there. Go reach them. Bring them to church. And you don't have to do the work alone. He didn't like that, but that was the truth. Because God has created everyone to be productive. Everyone. Sometimes situations will knock some people down and they have no way of resisting it. They flow with the world and end up somewhere that they are not supposed to be. We are the rescuer. We are to rescue them, change them, and put them in the way they should be. Then our Father will be glorified. Our Father will be glorified. The Bible says, walk worthy of that calling. Let that calling become something that you actually walk towards and allow it to become something that draws your attention every day. When that happens, there's a reward coming. I have called you, I've chosen you that you will bear fruit and that your fruit will remain. As I try to round up this, let me just say this to you. There's a call to experience the kingdom. Not just to work for the kingdom, but to experience the kingdom. In other words, the kingdom manifests through your life. How will you like to lay hand on the sick and the sick will recover? How many would like that? Great. But how do you do that? Look at what the Bible says. These signs shall follow those who believe, who go out, who believe the mission. These signs will follow them. They shall lay hand on the sick and the sick will recover. It is when you go out, the signs follows you. When you are reaching out, the sign is there with you. I don't fear when I pray for the sick. I'm not the healer. I only know the healer. I just lay hand on them and let God do his work. That's all. But I'm just going around doing it. Somebody told me in Livermore, he said, I just wanted to tell you, about 36 years ago, you were here, and my daughter was little. And that was when God dealt with my daughter. And then today, he said, last week he was talking about you. 36 years. And the testimony is that God transformed her life, even when she was small, healed her, and 36 years after, she's still talking about it. Ask yourself the question, what will you be remembered for? You know that song, always be remembered when, you know, with what you've done. We have a hymn like that. Always be remembered by what you've done. The question is, it's not just a song for funerals, because that's always where they sing it. It's not for funerals. It's to remind us who are alive, that our works will speak for us. Either here or there. Because if we don't do it, we can't experience the kingdom. Because experiencing the kingdom is experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the anointing of God in your life. Because when you begin to experience it, Christianity becomes exciting. Because the fruit will bear is what gives us joy and courage. And I pray that as you go, think about this. Why am I still in existence? Why is it that God is still keeping me? Why is it that he has blessed me the way he blessed me? What is it that God wants me to do? Go home, sit down, ask yourself those questions. Write down what God will tell you. Because you are a child of God. Write down what he's going to tell you. Because he will. He will show you what to do. He will show you how to do it. It may not be something you like to do, but just obey him and see the joy in it. It might be go and forgive somebody you hate. You say, God, no, I can never forgive in life. Okay, you can't come into the kingdom. Because no hatred will enter the kingdom of God. No unforgiveness will enter the kingdom. I told you in the morning, I don't forgive because you asked me for forgiveness. I forgive because of me. I don't want anything to stand between me and God. So I get rid of it before you say I'm sorry. But the time you say I'm sorry, it's too late. I've already forgiven you. Because I don't release you, I have put myself in bondage. You ask yourself, how many people do you need to forgive today? That's the beginning of God working in your life. How many things do you need to get straight? The society may have told you, you know, you do this, you don't do this. That's not kingdom principle. Kingdom principle is obey what the Father says. And when you do that, you begin to enjoy the glory of God and the presence of God as you have never enjoyed it before. Because that's what it is, that you are choosing to enjoy and experience the power of the kingdom. So my brothers, you are choosing, that's your identity. The fact that you are chosen by God is the identity to enter into his presence. His identity to call yourself, I'm a child of God. You're ordained is an assignment. You have an assignment that God wants you to fulfill. That's why he says, I have chosen you and ordained you. It's an assignment. To be fruitful is the evidence of the fact that you have the identity and you know your assignment. Then you become fruitful. And unless that happens, you cannot even be empowered in such a way that your prayers will be answered. They said, so that whatever you ask the Father, he will give to you. Your identity, your assignment, the evidence of your assignment, then the power will be released into your life in such a way that you experience God in a new level of life. Every day, God give me new ideas of what to do to get one person. One. Whenever I'm going to a crusade, I don't think about 20. I think about one. Because if I can win one soul, all the money I spend is enough. Paid everything. Because angels will rejoice. But the last crusade we have, over 250 people gave their life to Christ. But to me, praise God, that just one. The king, I was in the king's palace. You will see it in the magazine. I was in the king's palace. And I preached to the king and his chiefs and presented the Bible to him and prayed for them. In that city, they have warriors. They have people who can destroy your things like that. But the king said, you don't need to put down your equipment. Leave your equipment on the field. Speakers, everything was on the field. Do you know who watched them? Not policemen. The youths of the community. They were mandated to take care of our equipment at no cost. Why? Because we've brought the good news to the town. Whenever you are doing God's work, he honors you. He honors you. That you enter into some places and you wonder, why is it that these people respect you? Because you carry something that they don't have. I pray that you begin to look at this carefully today and ask yourself the question, why was I created? Why did I show up here? Why is God blessing me? Why has he kept me alive? If only you can get a glimpse of what is lying ahead, you will be ever serving. I mean, you can hardly rest, because if God can give you a glimpse of the glory that is there. My younger brother, when he was going to die, he was at the hospital, and then he said to me, brother, I'm ready to go. I said to him, listen, we will pray. He said, no, my eyes have seen the glory of that place. I don't desire this place. I don't deserve it. I don't want to be here. So no matter what you said to him, he was gone. He said, I forgive everybody who offended me. I'm going. So the day he died, they finished reading the Bible, the wife and himself in the hospital room. And then he was the one praying. He prayed to a point and stopped. So the wife was waiting for him to complete the prayer. He was gone. He died while praying. And the nurses came and told the wife, please give us chance. He said, but we were praying. He said, but your husband has gone. Why? His eyes have seen the glory of God. Ask yourself, what am I doing? God, open my eyes to see, so that I can know that what you have called me to do will give me a glimpse of what lies ahead for me. You know, if from here to Medford is a long ways, right? For if I say I'm going to keep $10 million in Medford, anyone who can hike to Medford, we have $10 million. How many will try? Thank you. Yes, I will try. Because before I start, I have calculated in my head how much I'm going to, what I'm going to do with $10 million, right? And I'll keep going. Do you know you will not be tired until you get there? You know what motivates you? The reward. The thing you are looking at, what you are going to do with $10 million, that's what motivates you. And every stress, you try to put them aside because you have something you are focusing on. You know why we do not actually do the work of God the way you should do? We don't focus on what comes ahead of us. The glory that will come on the day you hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That will be a glorious day. If you see those in Olympics, they strain themselves, they try everything they can, and then when they are running the race, you see all the veins in their body will stand out because they are looking straight at that cup. Somebody who comes second will be crying because he wants to be crowned one. I'm number one. I preach a message aiming for gold. If you are aiming for gold, do the work of God. Live for God. Suffer for him, and then if possible die for him. I won't be surprised that Charlie is actually enjoying great things in the kingdom. I won't be surprised that he will look back and say, why are those guys crying? They don't even know what I'm enjoying here. Yeah, we know he left two young children, but he has left a legacy that will never be deleted by anything. It's almost like burying a president around the world. It's not only here, in Europe, in Africa, in Asia. Everybody is touched by his life. Only 31 years. Because he discovered the purpose of God, dropped out of college, and pursued it. When he dropped out, I think people thought he was crazy. But today, even those who have degrees, I'm mourning him because he has employed many people who have multiple degrees. Ask yourself the question, what are you pursuing as a child of God? What motivates you? What challenges you? Let that be something you think about today. Shall we pray? Father, thank you very much for this moment. Thank you for your faithfulness. Your loving kindness is greater than anything. We know that you are the one who called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. May we shine for you. That wherever we go, your glory will be upon our lives in such a way that will change everything about us. God, help us. Those of us that need to amend our relationship with people, Lord, help us not to miss it. That every day in our lives, we give you the glory. Heal us, O God our Father. Refocus us, O God our Father. Show us the way to serve you acceptably to your glory and to your honor. We thank you for all that you've done. We glorify you. Lord, I pray for everyone here, those of you who, O God, in one way or the other, have difficulties. I pray that your Holy Spirit will minister to each and everyone here. And let this word be written at the table of their heart. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. And everyone said, amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. One thing I determined a long time ago is that I would not communicate with whoever's going to come and fill this pulpit on what I've been talking about. When he comes, I don't tell him, this is what I want you to speak on. I don't know if you've been coming on Wednesday night, but if you didn't hear anything that he said, he confirmed tonight everything that we've been talking about for the last number of weeks on Wednesday night about the part of the body. I'm an eye, I'm a leg, I'm a foot, I'm a finger, whatever you might be. And to sit and listen to him come along behind, and I've not said a word to him, and he'll swear to that. God has a purpose and a plan, and you're a part of it. You're a part of that plan. And the church is always going to have a limp. The church is always going to be the vision's always going to be a little blurry. Our hearing's always going to be a little restricted until each one of us begin to do what God has foreordained us to do. And so I agree and challenge tonight. You get with God. It's not my job. It's not Brother Thomas's job to tell you what your calling is. It's on you to get with God and figure that out and let God begin to speak into your life what his purpose is for you, because he has a purpose and a plan. I've been saying that for the last 3 weeks. He has a purpose and a plan for your life that only you can fulfill. That's your assignment this week. Get alone with God.